Thank you, Sister Martin. I tell you what, we preach and talk, and rightfully so, about a lot of the evil, but there is a lot of folks in America that still loves America. And exactly what she was saying in there is what we need to happen. America, come home. Amen. All right. Tonight we have the privilege of having Brother Larry Braniff visiting with us. Brother Larry has been a supporter and a worker, one of our professors at times in our college. And he had to stop off to have a little repair in the hospital, but he's coming back now good and strong and visited with us this morning. I asked him to come bring the message to us tonight. So, Brother Braniff, if you will, come on up and preach to us tonight. And we appreciate this man. He stood faithful to the doctrines and the truth and the Word of God, the King James Bible and everything. He's on the same page with us, and I praise the Lord for that.
Well, first, let me just say it's a privilege to be here with you tonight, and I never take it lightly when I stand in another man's pulpit, because I know he understands he's going to meet God with everything that's preached and taught here, and so I appreciate the opportunity, and I appreciate the prayers, but let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into the Scripture. Dear Jesus, we just thank you so much for the opportunity of being here. Lord, we thank you that you are the perfect holy God, and you keep your word, and you promise to give us your word, and you give us to it exactly how you want it to be in this King James Bible. And we pray, Lord, as we look at a simple truth, but an important truth in the day and age we live in, may our hearts be encouraged and challenged and emboldened. Lord, may sinners come to you, understanding the only way of salvation is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, may Christians wake up. May we realize that we're losing our country, we're losing our churches, we're losing a generation, and we need to get serious about your things and doing it right. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to take your Bibles with me tonight and turn to Hebrews chapter number 10. And I do appreciate the prayers. I had a mass removed, and It wasn't my brain. They didn't remove that, so that was a good thing. But I'm getting better every day, and excited to see what the Lord's going to do. I'm kind of in a weird phase of my life. I'm resigned the church that I pastored, and I don't have any clear direction just now. I knew that I'd run my race there. And so we're praying for the Lord to open up the door he wants. And so I covet your prayers with that, and I'm excited to see what God's going to do. I pray for my wife's home with three of our kids sick, and she made sure I brought these two because they need preaching. They need to come to the altar, so you pray for them as well. Hebrews chapter number 10, we're going to begin reading with verse number 19. The Bible says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." That's the only way to get in. You can't get in through religion. You can't get in through good deeds. You can't get in through a bank account. You can't get into reformation of your life. The only way is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse number 20, "By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with a pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." Now, I want to draw your attention to a very familiar phrase, one that I'm sure everyone here has heard preaching on and teaching on and have read many times. But in verse number 25, the Bible says, "So much the more." So much the more. I was reading through the book of Mark, this is a few months ago, And you know, sometimes you read things, you can read it 100 times, but then you read it a certain time and God will arrest your attention to a phrase or to a word or something like that. And I was reading through the book of Mark, and that phrase, "so much the more," just got my attention. And of course, I remembered it from Hebrews. That's the most familiar verse that has that phrase. So I looked up in the Bible to see how many times that phrase was mentioned. It's mentioned 4 times. It's mentioned in Mark chapter 7, and that's where the Lord heals a deaf man, and he tells him, "Now don't you know, spread this around. You just go about your business. You go back to your family, but don't tell everybody what happened here." But the Bible says, "So much the more they published." Then over in Luke chapter 5, he heals a leper, and it was the same thing. He said, "Now you go show yourself," and through all the process that they had to do for the purification and be reunited with their family and all that kind of stuff. He said, "Now don't tell everybody what happened here and who did it." And he has his own reasonings for that, and we can speculate this and that and all that kind of stuff, but that's just what he said. And so what happened? The Bible says, "So much the more his fame was spread abroad." He couldn't be quiet about it. Isn't it amazing thing in the scripture, when Jesus changed somebody's life and he told them to be quiet, they couldn't be quiet. In the day and age that we live in, he tells the church to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, and we can't get people out on visitation. You can't get people knocking on doors or passing out tracts or preaching on a street corner or supporting missions or whatever it may be. Here, he told them to be quiet and they couldn't. I mean, God had changed their life. Then the other one other than in Hebrews here is Luke 18, and this is with the blind man. This is another interesting one, because in this case, Jesus is coming by. He's got his disciples and all the crowd around him. Some there just wanting to see some trick. Some wanting to have a need met. Some because they realize he's the Messiah and they wanted to be close to him. But he's got a crowd with him. And there's this blind man on the side of the road, and he hears that Jesus is coming by, and he begins to cry out to him, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Boy, aren't you glad for the mercy of God? Grace and mercy, it's the head and tails of the same coin. Grace gives us what we don't deserve. We get salvation, we get heaven, we get the Bible, we get the Holy Spirit, all the promises and things like that. Mercy doesn't give us what we deserve, and that's a place in hell that's reserved for each one of us. And so he's crying out for the mercy of God, and the disciples are trying to quiet him. The disciple, the one that should be saying, "Man, let's make a way for this guy to get to the Lord," they're saying, "Man, be quiet. He's an important man. He's busy. He don't have time for you." The Bible says, "So much the more he cried out," and Jesus stopped and dealt with him and met his need. Yeah. So you have two cases where the Lord told him, "Now, don't tell anybody," but they couldn't help but to tell people because of what the Lord had done. If you were blind and you were given your sight, wouldn't you be telling everybody who did it? If you were a leper and you had to be separated from your family, thinking the likelihood is you're going to die in some leper colony, not having that personal relationship, not being able to hug your son or your daughter or your wife or your mother or your father, and then all of a sudden Jesus comes by and he purifies you, he cleans you, just as the day you were born, your skin is perfect and whole. Man, you'd be wanting everybody to know about it. And then you have the disciples who should be wanting everybody that needs the Savior, telling them about him, and they're trying to quiet him. Man, he's too important for you. I'm glad that God was willing to come and save a redneck from North Alabama, and then he even called me to preach his perfect holy word. I'm glad that God didn't look at me and say, "Your family's not rich enough, your family's not prominent enough, you're not intelligent enough." I'm glad that the Savior looked at me and said, "You're who I came for, you're who I died for." Look, I don't care who it is, that neighbor that lives next to you, that person across the road, those wonderful people you bring in on your buses, the missionaries you support around the world, those are people that are important enough to the God of heaven that he gave his life's blood for. Amen. But they tried to keep it, but so much the more he cried out. And then Jesus, he stopped and he met that need. Now the fourth time is the verse we read here in Hebrews, And I'm famous last words of a Baptist preacher, but I'm not going to be long, just some simple truths the Lord's put on my heart, so sometime by midnight I should be done. But anyway, Hebrews chapter 25, or chapter 10, verse 25 again, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. He's saying, as the day's getting closer, there's some things you ought to pay more attention to. You know, when I was in school, when I was in Bible college, if my professor told me, you want to mark this down because you're probably going to see it on your final. You know what I'd do? I'd mark it down because I wanted to know. I was one of those that, if I passed, I was ready to rejoice and, take a few laps myself. I just praise the Lord I passed. I didn't shoot for A's. I just shoot to graduate. And I got myself some edumacation. That's what I did. But I did all right. But, man, when the teacher said, look, you better mark that down. Man, I marked that down. I remember when I first surrendered to God's call in my life to preach. I was 16 years old, and my pastor took me into his office. It was me and a friend of mine, and we were the same age. He's pastoring up in Indiana. We were best friends. We both surrendered to preach, and he took us in his office, and he got two boxes, and he took us over to his library, and he started pulling books off of his library, and he filled us up a couple of boxes, and he said, now that's getting your library started. You be a student, you read, you study, and God will do something with you. I mean, I still have those books, and I still reread them, and I'm encouraged by them. And I praise the Lord, there are people that invested in me, people that were willing to say, you mean something.
Yeah.
You're important. You know, we live in a day and age, when, the snowflake generation. Yeah. I think that's an insult to snowflakes. It's an amazing thing. My family, we love to hunt. We love to shoot. All my kids know how to shoot. So, someone breaks into our house, they're in bad shape. They got 7 guns going at one time. But, it's crazy the things that go on today. The attack, today's Memorial Day. Today is a day where we remember those that paid the ultimate sacrifices and the families that are still paying that sacrifice today. Those empty places at holidays and birthdays, those important milestones in children's lives that daddy and mommy aren't there because they paid the price for us to have liberty. How dare us as a nation sit back and let that freedom erode with the price that was. But doesn't it bother you when somebody mocks our Savior? Doesn't it bother you when somebody would make light of God or use his name as a curse word or something like that? Look, I'm not saying it's on the same level as that, but as an American, it ought to make your blood boil when somebody disrespects the flag, somebody disrespects our freedom, somebody, I don't care if they're an elected official or not, thank God that Hitler didn't become our president, but can you imagine what this nation would be if we didn't have a Second Amendment? If we didn't have a Second Amendment, we wouldn't have a First Amendment, and you wouldn't be meeting here tonight. We'd have to find some little hole somewhere, some tree to hide under some place. You couldn't sing out for fear of the government coming in. Thank God for the price that was paid. But that means we have a responsibility. We owe a debt. The Apostle Paul said, I'm a debtor, both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. He said that from a Roman jail cell, knowing he was going to be executed. He said, I'm willing to die for the truth I believe in. We ought to be willing to stand up as Americans, but more importantly, we ought to be willing to stand up as Christians. So much the more as we see the day approaching. And let me get to the message here real quick. I got 32 points, and we just got through the... No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Everybody's like, oh, no, wait a minute. No, I got 4 simple truths that I want you to think about with that thought, so much the more. If God says so much the more, you ought to pay close attention to it. When God repeats something, it's important. When God says it one time, it's important. But when God repeats something, there's an emphasis. And when God says so much the more, we need to so much the more, just like he says. And the context is so much the more as you see the day approaching. With all the apostasy that's going on out, I just spit my cough drop out. So at least I didn't spit it at you. But anyway, as we see this day of apostasy, man, there is so much junk going on in the world today. So many heretics and false preachers that are pulling people away from the truth of God's word, that are trying to tell you replace Israel, trying to tell you you're going to go through the tribulation. You know what I find myself praying sometimes? Lord, if they want to go through the tribulation so bad, will you let them go through the tribulation? I'm just going to be with you and enjoying it. It's not going to affect me either way. I don't know if he'll do that or not, but he's God. He can do what he wants. It's crazy the things that are going on. I'm talking about in historic, King James, Bible-believing, independent, separated, sin-hating, God-loving Baptist churches are being ripped apart with heresy. And so if God's saying there's something as you get closer to the return of the Lord that you need to focus on, then we need to focus on that. So four simple thoughts here. Look with me at verse number 22. The Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with a pure water. We ought to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Look, I know we're living in America. I know we're living in the Laodicean day. I know we've been increased with goods and have need of nothing, and we think we don't need God because we have the American military, we have the American economy, we have the American name. I'm going to tell you something. If God could use a bunch of rednecks without any army in a little town called Ai to defeat the nation of Israel after they just defeated Jericho because they didn't do it God's way, don't tell me Cuba could conquer America if God wanted them to. We got to be careful about our arrogancy and pride, and we need to get back to the holy God of heaven and doing things his way. And the Bible says here, let us draw near. We don't need to get further from God. We don't need to get more entertained. Our churches are becoming circuses. Our churches are becoming, hey, who's going to have the biggest show this week? And if they'll put a big show on, I'll go and see it. And then they check their TV schedule, and if their favorite show is on it at 7 o'clock on Sunday night, well, preacher, I'm sorry, but you know that show is just so important to me. It's not, you know, it's more important to me than the Savior that took my place on the cross of Calvary. You say, I would never say that. You do it by your actions. Let us draw near. Now the Bible says how to do it. The Bible says with a true heart, truth matters. The result's not what's important. Truth matters. If God has you in a place where you say, I'm not being effective and I'm not seeing what I want to see done, and I'm not doing this and I'm not seeing this like somebody else is, but you're doing what God has given you to do, you stay right there because you may be breaking up the fallow ground for a future generation to reap a harvest. You just be faithful where God put you and quit worrying about all the other junk. A true heart, truth matters. The Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. I tell you what, there are more and more churches that check their bank account before they check the prayer closet to find out what God wants them to do. Look, if God says, I want you to do this for missions, and you look in and say, but Lord, we can't, all God is doing is saying, I'm about to show you something that I can do that you can't. I'm about to use you beyond your own measure. We need to have some integrity spiritually and draw near to God and draw to him in full faith and assurance, understanding. Look, if our government falls tonight, freedom is erased, the word of God is still not bound, the church is still commissioned to preach against the perversion of sodomy, to preach against the murder and slaughter of unborn children, to preach out against these heretic politicians and these heretic preachers, and to stand for truth. And we need to, so much the more as the day is approaching, we need to draw near unto God with a true heart in faith and assurance. Not only that, look at verse 23. Excuse me. The Bible says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, excuse me, for he is faithful that promised. The Bible says, hold fast, hold fast. You know, growing up, my brother, my sister and I, we played sports. Now, I'm going to make a comment on something Pastor Carter mentioned this morning. I hadn't watched a single football game since the first player took a knee. Now, I love sports. I love football. I played football. I enjoy football. But I won't give them one dime. I won't give them one rating on a television show when a bunch of dreadlock-wearing hippie... I'm about to get in the flesh, so I better move on. It's crazy. Yeah, I've had preachers get mad at me because I said that. I said, well, you got some other issues you need to deal with. If you get mad at me over that, you better not be around me. You're going to get mad at me about a lot of things. And I don't care. But we got to draw near with a true heart. But then you hold fast the profession of what? Our faith without wavering. You know, there's three kinds of faith in the Bible. There's saving faith. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm born again, blood-washed child of the living King. He indwells me. He's sealed me. He's keeping me. And regardless of what some heretic says, he's coming to get me when the trumpet sounds before the tribulation. Hallelujah. But there's also the serving faith. You got to have faith to serve God. You got to have faith to say, but I could do so much more here, or this doesn't make, if it's biblical, do it. But man, we could get so many more results. You know, there are people that have the best of intentions, but they're wrong. Say, well, when I get to heaven, God's going to judge me according to my intentions because he knows the heart. Yeah, the Bible says at the judgment, the books, plural, are going to be open.
Right.
Now, I don't know what all the books are, but the Bible talks about the book of life. Every person that's ever been born, their name was in that book of life. And when somebody rejects him for the last time, their name's blotted out of that book of life.
Right.
I'm glad my name's there.
Amen.
The Bible talks about a book of remembrance. God's keeping a record of my life. He's not keeping a record of my sin. He's forgotten that. That's under the blood. But I'm going to meet God with my God-given ability and my God-given opportunity to use that ability for his purpose and his glory to reach the lost and to encourage the Christians.
Right.
We're going to meet God with that. But then there's the book of remembrance. There's the book of life. And my mind just went blank. Dixie must have poisoned me on the way here. But there's another book that I was going to talk about, but evidently the Lord didn't want me to talk about it, or I'll remember it later and we'll come back to that. But he's going to open the books.
Right.
I believe that this King James Bible is going to be one of the books. Because this is the book that he's given us to guide our life. This is the book that he's given us to teach us about our Savior. This is the book he's given us to show us our need of a Savior. This is the book that he's given us, and if we'll rightly divide it, you got to look at the scripture dispensation. That's another thing that's under attack. Man, they want to take everything and jumble it all together. Look, there are things that are written to the church that are for the church. There are things that are written to the Jews that are for the Jews. There were things that were written to the Gentiles that are for the Gentiles. There were things that were written to heathen kingdoms that were written to those heathen kingdoms. All of it's good for us. All of it's profitable, but not all of it is written to us. You got to rightly divide it and apply it and understand it.
Right.
There's so many things that are under attack today, but we have to hold fast the profession of faith, that body of doctrine that we believe. It's not just a fleeting thing. And I know I'm preaching at Landmark Baptist Church, and Pastor Carter's been here 312 years, so I understand. There's no doubt this church believes this book. If you're here and you don't believe the book, it's either you're a young Christian, you'll get there, you just stay faithfully, you'll understand it, and you'll grow and you'll get a hold of that. Don't jump ship. You just stay faithful and God will help get you there. It's either that or you're a plant of Satan. You know, the Bible said there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, men of corrupt mind, destitute of the truth. Satan will send people in a church to try to mess it up because he doesn't want the gospel light going out. That's why when your pastor makes decisions and you don't understand it, you stand behind him. Because he knows some things you don't know. He sees some things you don't see. And he's been given the God-given responsibility of watching out for wolves.
Right.
I don't know who that was for tonight, but that was not part of the message, but it became part of the message. But anyway, so hold fast the profession of our faith. Don't give up. So much the more. You say, but the Lord's coming back, and He's coming back soon. If we'll give a little bit here and we'll give a little bit there, we can draw a bigger crowd in. You show me anywhere in the Scripture where the Bible says we're supposed to draw a crowd. We're supposed to lift Jesus, and He draws people to Himself. We're not supposed to be drawing a crowd. We're supposed to go out in the highways and hedges, compel them to come in. We're supposed to go out on the streets and preach Jesus. We're supposed to reach everybody we can, invite them. That's great and that's wonderful. But the greatest thing we can do is lift Christ and point them to Jesus. So much the more as Jesus is getting closer to coming. We need to draw near to Him with a true heart. We need to hold fast the profession of our faith. Then look in verse 24. The Bible says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Yes. We're supposed to consider each other. You know, you do a study of the life of the Apostle Paul, who is the apostle to the church age. Right. You do a study on the life of the Apostle Paul. And you know what you'll find? Now, he was a great preacher of the gospel. Man, I'd love to have been there when he went into Athens and he saw that city wholly given to idolatry and his spirit was stirred. He goes up there on Mars Hill, Areopagus, and he just lets them know, look, you had this superinscription down here to the unknown God. I'm going to tell you about Him. He's the God of creation. He went all the way down through it. Some people believed and got saved. Some people said, I'll think about it. Some people rejected it. But boy, he stood for the truth. But you know, when you study his readings, his writings, you're doing the reading. He did the writing. He did the writing by inspiration of God. It's God's writing. He was just a human instrument. But when you study through that, you know what you'll find? He spent more time encouraging the brethren, even than he did preaching the gospel.
Yes.
We're supposed to consider each other.
But.
You say, but it's my right. I can do. You can do that, but why don't you consider your brother? Maybe you got some young Christian and they see you doing something. You say, well, I can do this. Sure, you can do that. But if you become a stumbling block instead of a stepping stone, don't you think that's something you ought to consider? Don't you think you ought to stop back and say, Lord, if you can use me, here's a hurting Christian, Lord. I don't want to rub, and people misuse liberty. I had some, not in the church anymore, but I had some folks when I first went there, and one of the things they were concerned about when I came, now, we don't want you messing with our liberty. I said, what, you think I'm going to overthrow the government and erase the Constitution? What are you talking about? Because you can't be talking about liberty in Christ, because liberty in Christ is not liberty to do what you want. It's liberty to live free from the bondage of sin. I don't have to cow down to the devil. He has to run like a whoop dog. The Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee. People get all worried. Oh, you know, Satan's rising up against the church. Satan's attacking my family. Satan's doing this. Satan is already a defeated foe. Just claim the truth of God's word and the blood of Jesus, and there really is victory in Jesus. It's not just a song we sing. It's a truth that we preach and live. But we got to consider one another. You know, life stinks.
Yes.
Life's hard.
Right.
Life hurts sometimes.
Yes.
People will lie and people will deceive and people will let you down.
Yes.
My pastor used to say, when you go out, every time, whether it was the Tuesday night teen visitation, the Thursday night church-wide visitation, the Sunday bus visit, whatever it was, every time he'd have a meeting, he'd pray with everybody before he'd go out. And he said, well, one of the last things he'd say, now you remember when you knock on that door, behind every door is a broken heart.
Yeah.
You go with compassion. You go with understanding. Consider each other. Well, you know, brother so-and-so, he hadn't been here in a couple weeks. You know, he's probably getting out in sin, and he's probably doing this, and he's probably doing that. You know, maybe he's dealing with something medically, and you don't even know about it because he hadn't shared it with anybody, and he's really struggling, and maybe he's worrying about, you know, what is my family going to do if I die, and I got to get some things taken care of for him. Maybe he got mad at the preacher. I can't imagine anybody getting mad at you, Brother Carter. I just can't do that. Look, you preach the truth, people are going to get mad. I get mad at my own preaching sometimes because my flesh says, I don't want to listen to that. And the Holy Spirit says, but it's in the book. You better preach it. Get it right. Maybe they are mad. But you know what? Most people that are mad, it's a misunderstanding. And if people would go to them in compassion and considering them, you can get it worked out. And it's so much better to have two people serving God than one. Consider each other. The Bible says so much the more as you see the day approaching. The closer we get to the return of the Lord, the more important the fellowship of the church is going to be. And let me just say this while I'm talking about that. Your church is not on the YouTube channel. That's how a lot of heresy is being spread in the day and age we live in. That's a tool. It can be used for good and bad. You can use it to preach the gospel, and I know some preachers that do, and that's great and that's wonderful, but you try to replace your church with that, or you try to take somebody out of a local church and have them follow you on that instead of getting behind their preacher that believes the book, you're doing a great disservice to the cause of Christ, and you'll meet God with that one day. He's talking about the body of believers coming together. He said, so much the more we need to draw near with a true heart and full assurance. We need to hold fast the profession of our faith. We need to consider one another. The Bible says what? Consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Man, you encourage them, they'll do something for God with you. And then the last thing we'll look at real quick here tonight, verse number 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We don't need a lot of comment. We've all heard preaching and teaching on this. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, one of the problems we have is we let the world define the Bible. We let the world, well, this is what this means, and this is what this, like with liberty, or we could talk about 100 different things. Let the Bible define itself. Well, see, as it gets closer to the return of the Lord, we're supposed to be an encouragement to each other. So I know they're living in adultery, and that's a sin unto their own body, and it's a wicked thing, and it destroys homes and families. It destroys the testimony of the church, but we got to encourage them. Well, I know that they're dealing with some things in their home, and they've got some folks that are getting into this perversion of sodomy. And look, it is being drilled into the minds of our children through the public education system. And this is my opinion, but I believe the most dangerous institution in our country is the National Education Association. Because it's distorting a generation's mind away from God. They're pouring in there. We got to encourage them. We'll accept them and we'll love them to Jesus. No, you won't. You're going to end up having a bunch of other kids in your church. They're going to follow that perverse lifestyle because you've condoned and accepted it. Love the people, preach the truth to them. They repent of that wicked sin and get saved. Man, you welcome them in, you baptize them, you see them grow. And you know what? If they really get saved, you're going to find they're the ones that stand more ardently against it because they were deceived by the junk. You want to find someone fired up by the Catholic institution, you find someone that was saved out of the error of the Catholic institution. Man, they're stirred up about it. But you got to do it right. Exhortation is not just simply encouragement. Exhortation, biblical exhortation, is an encouragement to righteousness. Holiness is still a good word. Separation is still a good word. As a matter of fact, it's a required principle if the church is going to be effective in the field where God has put them. So you see this phrase, so much the more. You see a deaf man being healed. Jesus tells him, now you don't tell anybody, so much the more. Man, he let everybody know. A leper getting healed, Jesus said, now don't let anybody know what happened here. But so much the more the fame spread abroad. He couldn't be quiet about it. Then you have someone in need of the Savior, and he's crying out. And the people that should be getting him to the Savior are telling him, don't cry out so loud. You're disturbing the Master. He's an important man. He's busy. He don't have time for you. And so much the more he cried out. Yeah. You know, I can't help but to believe if the church would cry out so much the more for the state of our nation, that God would do something. But we're too comfortable where we're at.
That's right.
We're not willing for the economy to crash if that's what it takes for the country to get back to God. We're not willing to go through some tough times if that's what it takes for the church to get on fire and right with God. Boy, I got quiet. Boy, you don't talk about people's money. They don't like that. You know, you only have that money because God gave you the ability to have that money. Yes. Bible talks about not trusting in the uncertain riches of this world. It can disappear tonight. Right. All it takes is one move by one man dealing with Wall Street, and the whole thing will collapse.
Right.
You know that Federal Reserve is neither federal nor reserved?
Right.
It's all a farce.
Yeah.
But that's a whole nother message.
Amen.
Exhorting one another, encouraging to righteousness. Today, more than ever, God's people need to live like God's people. We could be part of the generation that hears the trumpet and meets the Lord in the air. We could. Now, maybe not. Jesus doesn't even know. Jesus said the Father has all that. I'm just waiting for the Father to tell me. Go. I thought Jesus was God. He is God. But he chooses not to know some things. I thank God that God, the Father, chooses not to know some things too. He chooses to forget my sin because it's under the blood of Jesus.
Right.
So much the more. Look, as the days go on, as the attack of Satan increases, as churches all around are compromising and are lowering the standard, lowering their convictions, adapting the worldly, humanistic philosophy, let's be like them so we can reach them.
Yeah.
Why in the world would they want what you got if you're just like they are?
Right.
We need to get back to the Bible. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. God help us to be so much the more Christians in the day and age we live in. Pastor Carter.
Let's stand with our heads bowed and think about it. We've heard a tremendous message from the Word of God. Tremendous. So much the more as the bad things happen, so much the more we ought to be doing right. Not surrendering things like a separated Christian lifestyle. Not surrendering the truth of the Lord Jesus and the gospel. That's our trouble today. Christians have quit standing, quit contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I'm going to ask Brother Bert to lead us in a verse, and maybe God's spoken to you. I'm sure he has in this message. He spoke to me a tremendous amount of truth right there in a little while. Maybe some of us ought to just admit the truth. We've kind of thrown in the towel and backed up a little bit. We ought to get right back in the middle of the game, right back in the middle of the fight. Whatever God's asked you to do as we sing, you come.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence. Daily live, I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender.
Brother Larry. reminds us of a bunch of stuff tonight. It says so much the more as we see the day approaching. If you've been saved any period of time, if you've studied your Bible at all, you know how true that statement is. The day is approaching. Boy, it's approaching at a very fast speed. Brother Larry, when I started preaching 300 years ago, I'll guarantee you some things have changed since then. A lot of the things I preached as predictions, as prophecy, has now become history. Already become history. Already happened so long ago, we don't hardly mention them anymore. Isn't that amazing? And yet, it's going to be a big surprise, even to a lot of God's people. Not going to be ready. Most of you remember back when 9/11 happened and the towers fell. A lot of people got shocked quick, got scared. I was on the way back from South Florida, and the minute the radio station called me and said, "We're getting calls. Can we have a church service tonight?" It wasn't Wednesday night. It wasn't church time. But we called a special church service that night, and boy, people came, and some got saved. Scared. But it didn't take long to wear off, did it? That's the sad truth with us. It didn't take long to wear off. If whatever we were doing right, we ought to do it so much the more. Not let up, but do it even better if we can. Amen. Thank you, Brother Larry. Appreciate you coming by and speaking to us. And that was a powerful message for us tonight. And right on point all the way across.